You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Thursday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in. Stay a while. Got a poll question, play of the day, a couple of stats of the day as well. A lot of opinions. Got a winner-take-all game coming up tonight. You know, there's a little bit of an irony with the winner-take-all in baseball. We complain that the games are too long, the season's too long, but then when it comes to the late innings of a series-deciding game, the end comes too quickly. And it's going to come quickly for one team tonight. Tonight, Dodgers-Giants game in San Francisco. Hard to make a prediction. I think Vegas has this as an even pick. Games come down to the smallest things. Like the other night, the Dodgers, Gavin Lux, looked like he had a game-tying home run. The winds in Los Angeles knocked it down. Usually it's the winds in San Francisco. But, you know, you start to look at this. You never know how long the starting pitcher is going to go. If it's a middle reliever, it's going to be a closer. One of the greatest moments in postseason history was Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world when the Giants beat the Dodgers to win the pennant. You never know. Tonight's the kind of game that can generate moments that we remember forever. And a lot of times, you'll find a pitcher or a team that they're really focusing in on one or two guys, and it's the guy that they don't think will beat them that they let a pitch slip. It's happened before, down through the years, decades. There's always somebody that comes out of a World Series and you go, he batted 450. What? And I remember Gene Tennis. If you're a fan of the Oakland A's of the early 70s, they had an unbelievable lineup. But Gene Tennis hit a couple of home runs and became a star. Mark Lemke with the Braves. I mean, even Chris Taylor last week, and he had been a star in the National League Championship Series a couple of years ago. You just never know. A lot of times it's the pitcher because, you know, if you had two starting pitchers, two hammers, as I call them, you could win a series, certainly a best of five. And best of seven, those two pitchers might get two or three starts, and that's a big difference. Arizona won a World Series with Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. You see that two-headed monster. But it's different now because these starting pitchers, they start, they don't finish. And maybe if they go five innings, and these managers go out there and it feels like, I'm supposed to make a decision. I'm supposed to pull him out. The analytics say this. Sometimes these games come down to a gut feeling. It's like Tommy Lasorda with Kirk Gibson. He had a gut feeling. He can't run, but could he give you one swing of the bat? And the Dodgers got that home run against the Oakland A's, and it set the tone for the entire World Series. But it comes down to one moment tonight, or at least it might come down to one moment. Somebody does something, somebody doesn't do things. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Say good morning to Peacock, that's our streaming partner, as we wave to you, those watching, and also our radio affiliates around the country. You guys are scooping up the Justin Herbert-inspired T-shirt. You Charger fans, you don't even have to be a Charger fan to pick up one of these shirts. As Justin Herbert told me a couple of days ago, that he is having fun. He may not get out, have any nightlife, but football is fun, according to Justin Herbert. So go to danpatrick.com. A lot of great items there for you. This program brought to you by Panini America, the hottest rookies, the biggest superstars, the all-time greats. Only one place to collect them all. Panini trading cards, instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, the hottest rookie cards. Start or continue your collection now at paniniamerica.net. All right, McLovin, what do you have for me with a poll question?
Okay, what is the most exciting Game 7 in sports? We're going to call tonight a Game 7. NBA, NHL.
How about deciding game?
Series deciding game. Mm-hmm. NBA, NHL, or MLB, which is the most exciting? Or you could say all three are the same.
Well, I think it depends on the circumstances. I find no matter who's playing in a game seven in hockey, it's probably the most exciting of all of them. And then you have overtime. I would say hockey. But if you're talking about specific matchups, rivalries, then we could look at baseball. Then I would probably have basketball after that. But hockey's pretty exciting. Yeah, Paulie.
basketball game sevens don't feel that juicy until the, you know, the fourth quarter, because something that happens in the fourth quarter, it doesn't really matter. But when you're watching a game seven in baseball, if someone gets a home run, like opening pitch, first pitch of the game, you're like, oh boy, it's not their night. It gets tense fast.
Yeah. And you can have a pitcher who struggles early and then last only three innings. It happens a lot in these moments where it gets too big for somebody, or the manager goes, oh boy, I got to go out and take him out now. Should I take him out now? Now you get into their bullpen. Now it changes everything. Or you let a pitch hang and somebody that you didn't expect to hit it out hits it out. Yes, McLovin.
I feel like baseball is the most painful sport to lose a game seven. I remember when my Phillies lost to Joe Carter's home run in Toronto, because it's just a kind of excruciating.
Having sat there down the left field line with Dave Campbell and Peter Gammons and Mitch Williams, and I'd gotten to know Mitch Williams a little bit, and Joe Carter, as it turns out, after that World Series, I visited both of them in their respective homes. I went to Kansas City, and I went to Texas to visit Mitch, Kansas City for Joe Carter. And I just remember when you're watching Mitch out there, and Joe Carter hit it, we were down the left field line, and I still didn't see where it landed. But I could see Joe jumping for joy, and I thought he just hit a walk-off home run to win the World Series. And then later, probably 6 weeks later, maybe 2 months later, I visited Joe Carter in Kansas City. And I said, Joe, where's the baseball? And he goes, it's right there in the kitchen drawer. We were in his kitchen. And I open up the kitchen drawer, and this ball rolled out with like dish towels and, you know, bottle opener. And he had written on that ball, you know, the home run, and he gave it to his wife, but it was in a drawer in the kitchen.
Didn't say, like, don't throw away on it. What do you write on the ball?
Don't let the kids play with this. And I went to Mitch Williams's house, and Mitch was a stand-up guy because he said, you know, everybody makes a big deal about, yeah, I gave up the home run. Look, he did his job. I didn't do my job. I threw it. He hit it. And that's what baseball is. I'm going to throw it. Can you hit it? And if you can, you're going to be the better man. But we've seen this down through the years where you have that moment where are you going to produce? Game on the line. And it'll be great tonight because these two fan bases hate each other. And so much history going back to New York between these two. Yeah, Paulie.
If you go back to the 2016 World Series with the Cubs-Indians, that was a no-lose World Series for history because the Indians were almost like the Cubs. You know, people lovable losers. They hadn't won it in forever. Mm-hmm. And when was it Rajie Davis for the Indians who hit that game tying home run? I could speak for Cubs fans. I sat down in my chair and went, oh, that's how it's going to end. This is how I'm going to get my heart ripped out again, because it actually made sense. It was like almost comforting. I'm like, ah, I'm used to this.
Yeah. And if you're a fan base that's used to losing, you almost go, okay, where's the banana peel? Like, how's this going to happen? I know we're going to lose. Just, I hope it's not, is it a slow death or is it a guillotine? I mean, it's like the Lions. You know, they keep losing games. Not that they get to the point where, I mean, they would gladly get to a Super Bowl and go, all right, how are we going to lose this? But you get to a Super Bowl. They can't even get to the playoffs. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, Bill Buckner still has to be the worst.
Well, that was the game before, so that didn't win the World Series for the Mets. And they had a 3-0 lead, I think, in Game 7. I mean, after the Bartman play, you know, in 2003, the Cubs had a lead. Kerry Wood hit a home run. Like, it felt like, okay, you're going to recover. Like, these game sixes are really tricky because you think, okay, that just happened. How do you then overcome that? But you still get a game seven. Buckner had the error. They still got to come back with Bruce Hurst on the mound. And Hurst was going to be the MVP. Yeah, McLovin.
Remember Carlton Fisk's famous home run where he's waving his arms? That was not a, they lost that World Series. Was that a game six?
That was game six, I believe, when he homered off Pat Darcy, I think, at Fenway. And then you had to come back the next game. And if you're the Cincinnati Reds, the Big Red Machine, because they win that World Series the following year, they sweep the Yankees 4-0. Yes, Todd.
I know the series didn't end at that moment with the ball through Buckner's legs, but given the history of the Red Sox and you're in New York and you're one strike away, I have to go with that over a game-ending World Series home run with the Joe Carter, Mitch Williams deal.
Yeah, but it didn't that wasn't the end of the series.
I know they still had one more game left, but just that, at that moment, it feels like, what could be worse than that? People give up home runs all the time in different situations.
I'd rather have Buckner's error and I got another game than Mitch Williams throwing the home run ball. There's no more games. So how would you go, oh, I'll take that. I want to live to have a game seven. That game seven, you already decided that's going to be a walk-off home run. No, I want that opportunity to play again. The Cubs had a lead in game seven, and the Red Sox had a lead in game seven in that World Series. Yeah, Paulie.
The Kirk Gibson home run, it's hard to remember. It's 1988 Athletics-Dodgers World Series. All the Dodgers fans remember. That was game one.
Yeah.
It feels like it was game seven. Because it felt, yeah. I don't remember anything else from that series. If you're a Dodger fan or an A's fan, I'm sure you remember all of it. But I went back, I'm like, it just reminded me, that was game one.
Yeah.
Vin Scully's on the call. When Gibson comes out of the dugout, Vin was like, oh, what do we have here? Like, he couldn't believe it. And Gibson looks like he's fighting to get in the batter's box.
But also, I don't think he had another at-bat in that entire World Series. But it set the tone for the entire World Series. I go back to, I think it was the A's and the Reds. And this was 1990, and I remember Joe Oliver hitting a double down the line, and they won game one. And I remember how it just set the tone for the entire World Series. Sometimes that's what it is. It's one game early as opposed to that one game later on. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Yes, McLovin?
If you would ask a poll question, what's the most famous home run in baseball history? I actually have a 2018 list from MLB.com, a list of top 10 most famous home runs. What would you guess that they would have?
Famous home run.
I'll give you a hint. It's relevant to tonight's teams.
Well, I would... Bobby Thompson's home run.
They have shot heard around the world is number one, Bobby Thompson's home run.
Bill Mazeroski won the World Series for the Pirates in 1960, beat the Yankees.
That's two. Sorry, they're not all World Series home runs. There's also impactful regular season home runs.
Regular season?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with winning a game. It's somebody breaking a record.
So would it be McGuire breaking Roger Maris's or Maris breaking Ruth's record or Bonds breaking everybody's record?
Oh, no, the one you're forgetting, the all-time home run record.
Oh, Hank, okay.
Yeah, Hank, they have his number three.
Yeah. So when he beat Babe Ruth, okay. Yeah, that was big.
And then they have Gibby number four and Carlton Fisk number five.
Fisk broke my heart because that was 1975, and that was probably close to midnight. And I just remember Dick Stockton was on the call, and you just saw, you know, Carlton wave. I have an autographed picture of that somewhere here in the man cave where Carlton's, you know, go, you know, stay fair, stay fair, stay fair. I think that's how he signed his autograph on that. Who else is on that list there, McLovin?
Well, you had McGuire was on that list.
Yeah.
Let's see. Joe Carter was on that list. Barry Bonds hits number 756. I don't know. Bucky Dent was number nine.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And number 10, we'll see you tomorrow night. I don't know what this is. Twins.
And that's Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, Kirby Puckett. What does we'll see you tomorrow night mean? That was the call. Okay.
Yeah, that was Jack Buck, I think, with the call. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That was 91 World Series Game 6, Kirby Puckett walk-off homer.
It's one of my favorite calls because it's not one of those, it might be, it could be, or back. It was, you knew it was a home run. And once again, I think it's off Charlie Liebrandt of the Braves. But it was, we'll see you again tomorrow night. Like, it was awesome. 11th inning, home run. I just love the call. And then you lay out and... yeah, we were going to see you again tomorrow night. All right, let me take a break here. We'll settle on a poll question. Kyrie Irving speaks. I know less than what I did before he started to speak. 25 minutes yesterday, and we'll play some of that sound of what is happening. By the way, the Nets are still on the hook to pay Kyrie quite a bit of money here, even if he doesn't play. We'll have that for you. And the Raiders. They get it out of the way. They pulled the Band-Aid off. Everybody got in front of the media, answered some questions. And as long as no more emails come out, then maybe that's the last time they're answering these questions. Take a break. Just getting started here on the Dan Patrick Show back after this. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. But it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. I keep telling Todd this, but Todd never takes out his credit card.
I don't.
So he wouldn't know that Discover is accepted at 99% of the places in the United States where we order lunch.
Basically everywhere.
Yeah. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Sunday Night Football on NBC and Peacock. It'll be the Seahawks going to Pittsburgh. Festivities start at 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. McLevin, what's the poll question we're going to go with?
I actually put up, what's the most exciting Game 7 to you, NBA, NHL, or MLB?
Okay.
Actually, NHL has the early lead, so we'll see if people catch up.
You got Buccaneers at the Eagles coming up tonight. We'll talk about that with Tom Brady battling an injured thumb, even though he threw for 5 touchdowns against the Dolphins. And both these teams battling a lot of injuries. Here we are going into week 6, and just the number of injuries here across the board, and you're adding one more game here. This is, you know, it's really a battle of attrition in the NFL. From now on, you're going to be lucky if your quarterback does play every game. And I'm going to guess, since they're running more than ever, you know, the over-under for your starting quarterback, how many games he'll play, is probably 14. 13 or 14. And that might be generous right now. It's just the younger quarterback. Did you see what Aaron Rodgers said to Joe Burrow? Man, you're too talented, dude. You cannot take these hits. And he took 2 really big hits against the Green Bay Packers. Slide. Get out of bounds. You're young. You think you're invincible, and you're not. You know, I go back to the first moment when I realized somebody was being smart, but in the moment, I didn't realize it. I was too young. Franco Harris used to run out of bounds. And I just remember, wait, running backs don't run out of bounds. And Jim Brown critiqued Franco Harris. Like, no, you take on contact. You initiate contact. You don't run out of bounds. Franco was smart. Franco was like, I'll just run out of bounds. All right, well, I might get 1 or 2 more yards, but at what cost? You got to reduce the number of hits and, you know, the angles of those hits, the momentum of those hits. Slide, go out of bounds. It's okay. You don't want to go in a fetal position like Brady and Peyton Manning did. Okay. But don't go Andrew Luck where you go middle linebacker after you throw an interception, or Baker Mayfield did this as well. Live to see another down, another game, another season. Yeah, McLevin.
But Lamar Jackson's not running out of bounds. In fact, he's faking the guy and pretending.
I know.
He makes me nervous.
I know.
He did get knocked out of the playoff game with a concussion.
I know. I just, yeah. I say this every year. We'll continue to say this every year. For the last 15 years, get out of bounds. There's no shame. Like, the entertainment part of this, you know, I understand it. Like, there's no shame. Just get out of bounds. It's okay. Nobody's going to, you know, critique you like Jim Brown critiqued Franco Harris. You're a quarterback. Act like one. And that means be smart. All right. Let me get to Jim in Idaho, and then we'll talk about Kyrie Irving. All right. Hey, Jim.
Dan, boys. How you guys doing?
Great, Jim.
Good. Hey, Dodgers Giants tonight. Boy, what a matchup. You guys were touching upon it before. Seaton, I think Roberts really nailed it when he said this is what the league wants. I mean, Dodgers Giants have never met each other in quite some time, certainly in the playoffs, so it's going to be an exciting game tonight. Hey, Dan, I wanted to get your take on the Andrew Brandt interview you did yesterday. It was really good. Kind of gave me a thought about this conspiracy theory with the league and what did John Gruden have on the Redskins? The way I look at it is he made those comments in the email 10 years ago, I think it was. His brother was coaching the team. He had a relationship with Bruce Allen, given his days in Tampa Bay. what did he know? I mean, this is like a perfect setup for Oliver Stone or something to come in with some conspiracy theories. Just wanted to get your take on that. And finally, Dan, hey, it was my wife's 60th birthday 2 days ago. She is a big fan of yours by proxy because she sees me watching the simulcast and listening to you on my cell phone at the same time. So I'm a little nuts about it. But her name is Deb. If you can give her a shout out to her 60th birthday, that'd be awesome.
Thanks. All right. Well, thank you, Jim. And you just did. And Deb, happy 60th birthday. And good luck with Jim. But I don't know anything about John Gruden's situation. I have a source who's involved in this, but I've asked and the source doesn't know. Like, what else is at stake? What's it play here? Because it just felt like the focus went from the Washington football team to John Gruden. And John Gruden's probably going, wait, what happened? Yeah, they got emails when you were at ESPN and you sent those to Bruce Allen and with the Washington football team. Yeah, they flagged a couple of those. I don't know what he knew or knows about the Washington football team, but chances are they would have found that in the Bruce Allen emails and emails from his brother Jay. John wouldn't have been initiating something. It would have come from inside to the outside, not the other way around. But I don't know. Mike Mayock is the Raiders GM, and he talked about the situation yesterday.
I've touched base with as many of the guys as I could over the last several days. We talked with the players. The captain spoke up at the team meeting to a certain extent. The common denominator from the players has been focus and professionalism.
Yeah, and a lot of we got to move forward here. And they do. This was a one day event, meet with the media, say what you need to say. You know, Derek Carr said, look, you know, I love John Gruden. You know, I don't kind of wash away the sin here, paraphrasing, but it was, I love him. You know, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin, basically. But, you know, the Raiders got to move on from this. I just don't know if there's going to be any more leaks. Because my gut feeling, and according to my source, there's going to be. But Raiders moved on, and now the question is, who else is in the crosshairs? But I'm still waiting to hear from the commissioner. Because I would want to know, if something happened inside my building, under my watch, with people who are senior executives looking at these emails, I don't think that these were interns combing through emails. Okay, how many people had access to the emails? Let's start there. Because I got to believe there's a lot of nervous people. And there should be. All right, Kyrie Irving, he didn't meet with the media. He was on Instagram, so the media didn't get a chance to offer up any follow-up questions. And there is something that was, or there was something that was said yesterday that is screaming for a follow-up. And I'll get to that coming up in a moment. Kyrie said, of course, it's not about the money.
Yo, you're going to lose out on money and you're going to lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship?
Okay, Kyrie is going to get paid when he goes on the road. And what is happening now? So the NBA's expectation is that Kyrie Irving's refusal to get a vaccine shot and then being unable to play in his team's home games will fall under the reasonable cause clause. That means he gives up $380,000 per game. So if he misses every game this season, including the preseason, then it's going to cost him around $17 million. That's the regular season games. Then he has two regular season games against the Knicks at the Garden. But he's going to then make the other half of that by being on the road, whether he plays or not. But he can practice on the road, and if they choose to have him play on the road. But he did say that he's not done playing basketball.
Don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that. Like, really be aware.
Okay, this is the one that screams out with follow-up questions, but we couldn't because there was no media there with follow-up questions.
All these people saying all these things about what's going on with me, and it's just not true. Pay attention to what's going on out in the real world. You know, people are losing their jobs to these mandates. People are having to make choices with their own lives, which I respect. You know, and I don't want to sit here and play on people's emotions either. Just use logic. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine. You know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming where I prepared for it.
Okay, he was promised exemptions. That's where, if I'm allowed to ask a question of Kyrie, because Kyrie will say, hey, respect my privacy while speaking publicly about this, and then wanting to speak on behalf of those that don't want to get the vaccine. You can't have it. I can't respect your privacy if you keep talking about it and you want to talk about those who don't have a voice. Then can I not ask you a follow-up question? And who promised you something? That's what I want to know. You know, if he was lied to by the NBA, by the Nets, look, I'm open-minded to this. I'd just like to know, you know, do I care if he plays in the NBA this year? I don't. If he does play, great, he's a wonderful talent. But you don't want to play, you sort of want to play. If I'm the Nets, I don't want you to sort of want to play. It's called a team. You want to make a decision for you individually, then you make it. But you can't sort of make a decision because the team has to make a decision and the team should move on. And I don't know if Kyrie gets traded. Why would you want Kyrie? If he's not going to be vaccinated, okay, you can go to another city, another state where, you know, he doesn't face, you know, these mandates. Okay. But this isn't the first time we've had, boy, what's Kyrie thinking? And it's not going to be the last time we have something where we go, what's Kyrie thinking? Or why did he say that? Or why did he do that? He did put his money where his mouth is when you think about it, because everybody's like, oh, okay, you don't want to get vaccinated. Put your money where your mouth is. He did. So I can respect that. But if you're not going to play, then just don't play. I don't think you're being fair to your team. You're being selfish. If you want to still be part of a team, you don't want to be part of a team. This is on you. Go ahead. You know, you want to have a book. You want to, you know, give speeches. You want to be vocal about this. Then great. Go ahead. But I it felt like it was somebody who was doing a class project and threw it together at the last minute. And it just didn't feel like it was fully vetted where, you know, you're really looking at some strong points here. I think you owe it to the media and to this story. Tell us who promised you what. That's what I'd want to know. That's the only thing I want to know right now. Who promised you this? What did they promise you? Were you told you didn't have to do this? Okay. We're told things, it feels like on a weekly, a monthly basis. You know, where you go into a city or go into a state, what do I have to do? Hey, I was told this. Hey, I don't need my vaccination card going into a restaurant in New York. No, you do this week. Like, we hear this all the time. We adapt. We may not like it. Hey, you got to have a mask on. I didn't bring one. Well, here, we're going to give you one. Okay. You got to adapt. We've been told a lot of things for the last year and a half on this. But I think you understand that this is a moving target here. And if Kyrie doesn't want to play, doesn't have to play. And you know what? We won't miss him. But you can't be both. You can't be sort of a, you know, part-time player, you know, with the Nets that they want to move on. And this was going to be their year. When you think about it, everybody healthy. Yeah, Paul.
You know, it's weird. I don't want to speak out of school here, but like, I respect anyone who stands up for something, is willing to give up their salary for something they really believe in. If that's what he is, altruistic about this, then great. But there's a lot of people, I'm not saying me, I'm saying what I saw a response on social media yesterday was like, this guy is just doing it for attention. He's taking a situation and making it about him, which is what he's been known for a bit in the past. So a lot of people doubt his intentions.
But how does he benefit?
Attention.
But
he's already got money. He's already got, I think he's got a ring, right, with the Cleveland.
But what do you do with that attention?
Some people like it for the sake of it. Some people like to be the, you know, stirring the drink and the focal point and stirring the pot.
Mm, okay.
That's what a lot of people think.
Okay. I mean, I don't read into it that deeply. It's just, I'm just trying to figure it out because he is a Hall of Fame player. And he is not going to play or play half or part time for the best team or the favorites to win the title this year. So it is a big deal. Yes, Hugh.
Yeah, it's almost like some people want to be rich. Some people want to be famous. You know, you don't necessarily want to be rich and famous. Some people want one or the other. That's kind of like the attention thing, I would think, right? Almost like, not to say it's like a personality disorder or something, but there are some people who just need attention all the time and they get it no matter how they could get it. And I'm not saying that that's what Kyrie is doing either at all. But there is that, people do have that part of their personality.
He's already got his money. He's made, what, $160 million? I don't think money has been, you know, the driving force for him. And he's going to lose on that max contract extension. Yeah, Pauline.
You know, I was watching Billions not too long ago, and the big guy who's a billionaire says, yeah, what's the use of having screw you money unless you say screw you? And he used a different phrase.
Mm.
He goes, but it allows you to do that every once in a while when you don't want to listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he is complicated, or at least he presents himself as being complicated. I always feel like he wants to be the smartest guy in the room. And sometimes that doesn't go well. Yes, Hugh.
Kyrie, because he's been so difficult over the years and sort of such a enigma to figure out, yeah, has worked himself into like this corner of public opinion where no matter what he says, it's the wrong thing. You know, like you said before, like, oh, put your money where your mouth is then. You don't want to do that? Put your, okay, I'll put my, why are you costing yourself all that money? You know, it's like, all right, if you don't want to play, then just don't play. I don't care. And then, yeah, he doesn't play. It's like, where's Kyrie? Why isn't he playing? You know, it's kind of, he's kind of gets it from all angles all the time. Some of it is by his own doing.
Yes. A lot of it's by design, but if he doesn't want to play, then I'm fine with that. I don't want him to do part-time. Now, that is fascinating. It's a storyline. I just don't think you're being fair to Kevin Durant, who you partnered with to make this work. He came there specifically to play with you. That's what I'd love to know. How are you and KD when you're around each other? The vaccine come up? See you on the road. Okay. Just feels like it's sort of hanging there. And if you don't want to play, don't play. But you can't say respect my privacy, but then you want to talk about this. Well, I'll respect your privacy. Don't say anything. Or let us talk to you. We've invited him through his agent. Nothing wrong with somebody, you know, clarifying something or giving you a different thought on something. I'm open-minded to it. I'd love to know who promised him something and what was promised in fairness to him. All right, we'll take a break. Play of the day is up next. We'll get to phone calls as well. Operator Marvin standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God.
The play. The play is called play of the day. This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Alex Ovechkin
Still a goal away from tying Marcel Dion for fifth all time in NHL history, of course, out here on Power Play 1. That's about the only exclamation point you could want right now. And there it is! He scores! Alex Ovechkin! Goal number 731! He ties Marcel Dion for fifth all time! It's 4-0 Washington!
Courtesy of the Capitals Radio Network, WJFK 106.7. Next up, Brett Hull in fourth place with 741. Alex Ovechkin is probably going to end his career as the all-time goal scorer. By the way, it was on this date, Wayne Gretzky scored his first goal in the National Hockey League. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels, boost energy. Visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. John in Houston joins us. John, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Pat. It is an honor to be on your show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
And all I wanted to say is, you know, being in the medical field, you know, talking about the COVID vaccines and all that,
yep.
It's just dangerous, you know, to be around people like that. Because you know what? I got vaccinated, and I got COVID. And imagine being on a basketball court, you know, with people that have been vaccinated that have not. I mean, that's just a big issue.
Yeah, I don't want him. I wouldn't want him around the team, but he's going to have to go through, you know, these COVID protocols every single day. Going to get tested every single day. Probably during the morning and then later prior to the game. You know, does he want to go through that? Does the team want to go through that? Matt in North Carolina. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, guys. I have just a quick comment about Kyrie. One of the top three public conspiracy fellas in the NBA, Flat Earth, etc., goes on Instagram to say, don't believe everything you hear. Just a bit ironic.
Yeah. You know, you, and thank you, Matt. Sometimes you want publicity, but if you don't have a platform, then where is that publicity coming from? Kyrie remains relevant because he's still playing basketball. If he stops playing basketball, then when are you going to hear from him? How are you going to hear from him? He just going to pop up and do Instagram? If that's what he is addicted to, the spotlight. Like, I want to tell you how you should think or how you should feel. Craig in New Jersey. Hi, Craig.
DP, how are you?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I mean, I think we're all trying to decipher what Kyrie's thinking about. I think boiling it down to just attention is a little unfair, and obviously you're more ingratiating in sports. What exactly was the reason he left Cleveland after that championship season?
He wanted to have his own team.
And I think that kind of ties into why he's refusing this vaccine and refusing to play. He wants to be a leader. Clearly, he sees this as an opportunity to be a leader. I mean, I don't understand it. Somebody who's been vaccinated, I don't see the issue. But, I mean, I think this is just he wants to be a leader. He thinks this is being a leader. I don't know.
It could be. I mean, look, I'm open to all of this. I'm not closed-minded. I've listened to both sides. I don't look at it as political. I just want to listen and learn and be smart and feel safe. That's all. And that you're able to go about doing things that we've been doing before. That's all. He wants to be a leader? Okay. Then how are you going to lead? Who are you leading? We got to respect your privacy. So am I allowed to ask any questions? Do you want to talk for those who can't speak? Okay. And by the way, you quit basketball, you'll have a boatload of privacy. But until then, I think he's being unfair. These fans are going to pay your salary, half of your salary, they're going to be paying you. And it's not fair to your teammates either, who did what they, for the greater good of a team and a goal and winning a championship here. Kyrie is being selfish. He signed up for something. Now he wants it his way. He doesn't want to do it what his teammates have done. James Harden did this. Kevin Durant did this. Steve Nash, his coach, did this. These are all Hall of Famers. You know, they're all playing for the same goal. Yeah, Steve.
Well, I think to be fair, though, this isn't exactly what he signed up for. I mean, like you said even earlier, this is a fluid situation and we're all adapting. We have to be able to adapt. So he didn't really sign up for the, if he was told, say, by the union, the Players Association, that he wasn't going to be held to a vaccine mandate. And now he is being held to a vaccine mandate. That's not what I signed up for. That's not what I was told. So now he's adjusting on the fly. And that one soundbite, he says, this isn't something I could plan for because it just happened.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant had to be told the same thing, and James Harden had to be told the same thing, and other NBA players had to be told this. Was Kyrie the only one who was told this?
No, but those people all might be comfortable getting the vaccine, and Kyrie might not be comfortable getting the vaccine. That would be a huge difference.
I thought he said that it's not about getting the vaccine. He wants to speak up. Like he's that's part of the problem. I think the message that's being delivered, depending on the day or the time, is delivered in a different way. And that's what I would want to know. Just what is it that you're, what were you promised? What are you bothered by? But I think he said that he's not anti-vaccine. He's, I think, anti being told or that you're going to lose your job if you don't get the vaccine.
Right. I think he's anti being forced to get the vaccine, which that a lot of people
are. And I understand that. I do. I hear that. Hey, we don't want to be told what to do. We're told what to do every single day. And I know people, whenever this happens, we, you know, it comes down to politics. I it comes down to staying alive, being smart, protecting those around you. That's all. And I think we get too caught up in the weeds here, and we're not seeing what the bigger picture is. Kyrie doesn't want to play. You don't have to play. Plain simple. But those who are playing, he shouldn't hurt their chances to win a championship. And that's what he's doing. Because now you can't trade him. He says he'll retire if he's traded, according to a report by Nick Wright. Oh, says he's not going to retire. All right. So what is actually your game plan here? Michael in Maryland. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you, Dan?
Good, Mike.
I want to find out, what is the big... And I just heard you actually touch on it about the fact that, you know, that we have, that we should not have choices. But in my opinion, we should have choices, number one. Number two, I just want to understand, all the data doesn't point to any basketball or athletes dying from getting COVID, nor does it point to the vaccine actually preventing you from getting COVID. The whole thing is it prevents you from going to the hospital, which... These players are the best fit players in the country. I mean, they're so fit that they work out more than me and you will ever work out in our lives.
But what about the people there around who aren't the most physically fit? The people who work with the team, people who are in the offices that you go to. They're not the most physically fit. The training staff. Like, this isn't just about a player or players. You're not in the bubble anymore. You're in the real world here. And yes, you can get COVID. We know all of these things. It's, are you passing it on to somebody? Do you make somebody more vulnerable there? Like, there's a lot of things attached to it. Yes, Eden.
And there are, I can't necessarily point to a specific athlete in the U.S., but I know that there have been a lot of soccer players who have gotten COVID and spent like a whole season where it was like, what's wrong with that guy? Well, he hasn't really been the same since he got COVID because of all of those lasting symptoms. And those people are super fit.
All right, more phone calls coming up. Chris Mannix covering this story for Sports Illustrated. Mannix will join us coming up next hour. We will preview Dodgers-Giants a little bit later on. Ron Darling will be on the call tonight, and he'll join us in the final hour of the program. 1 hour in the books, two more to go on this Thursday, Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out hour one. It's M Drive. You want to keep up with the younger guys in the gym or the office or playing golf? Well, you can. M Drive, the everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age slow them down. They're packed with clinically tested ingredients. M Drive supports healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle, giving you the energy to fight back against aging so you can compete every single day. You can go to mdrivedan.com and have it delivered right to your door. Just try it. There's so many great products that they have. They offer free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Got nothing to lose. You can also pick up M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. We all get older. That doesn't mean we have to act like we're older. You want to keep up with the younger guys? M-Drive gives your body the T support it needs to compete and win. M-Drive is not for everyone. It's for the driven person. Visit mdrivedan.com. More strength, more energy, and T support to fuel your daily drive. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive.